This is John Costa, the editor of Citizen's Eye, and we're here at the Almanac on Monday the 12th of November. It's the sixth day of Community Media Week and the Doc Film Festival, and we're just hooking up now on the big screen, ready to play. I haven't seen it before, not even looked at it on YouTube. It's Katrina's Story, which is the short film that's come out by Leicester Charity Link on their website and on YouTube now for you to view. And I've been joined by the producer, editor and director. Did I get that right? George Hall.
Yeah. Also cameraman as well. But,
cameraman. Well, as anyone who knows you, George, it's about multitasking, isn't it?
Yes, jack of all trades, apparently. That's who I am.
So what was the project like and how long did it take you to do?
It was difficult because I was so busy. We shot in August. I only had a few days. I had a day to shoot and 2 days to edit. And it was a mad rush. But yeah, it was about 48 hours turnaround from starting to shoot to finish editing. And yeah, pretty pleased with it, I guess, in the time frame.
So how do you know Sue, and how do you know Sue McKenniff, the CEO, and how do you know Leicester Charity Link?
Oh, I used to work with an agency in Salby, run by Rachel Hargrave, and she's a mutual friend of ours, and she knew that Sue wanted quite an emotional, intimate film, and she knew that I was capable of making such a film. And she just gave me her contact details, and we got in touch, and straight away got working together. Like, it was just a mutual friend, really.
Okay, I mean, in your body of work, some of which we've seen in the Doc Film Festival last year, and you kindly run, well, earlier this year, should I say, and you ran the Social Doc Cube as well, didn't you? Off the Socially Minded Documentaries channel from Vimeo.
Yeah.
How are you pleased with it? Where does it kind of sit in your top five?
I don't know. I mean, the production quality isn't amazing, and because we're working with such impoverished individuals that we couldn't afford to bring lighting, we couldn't afford to do certain things. Like, it was so dark in the house, like, the video quality is actually quite bad, but in a way that adds to the atmosphere. I mean, I couldn't afford to bring a sound man, which I usually do, so I had to film Guild Sound myself again, which gave it quite a crude feel. But I think as an atmospheric piece, it's really powerful, and I'm quite proud of it. But if you judge it in terms of actual production quality, it's way off the mark compared to my other work, which has a budget and a crew of people. But no, I'm pretty pleased with it. I mean, it got a few tears, and I've shown it before, and yeah, I'm proud of it, I think.
When you look at something like this, do you think it brings more out of you as an editor and a filmmaker and a producer and an editor and stuff like that, if the story is quite impactful like this? Is it hard not to get emotionally sort of involved in the project?
Yeah, at first. I mean, at the end of the Katrina story, she actually starts crying and breaks down a little bit, which was quite uncomfortable and difficult to see up on set. But as an editor, you watch it two dozen times, and eventually it does start to wear off. But this film especially was quite difficult, and it was quite an emotional experience. Like, watching the footage back the next day was quite difficult, I think. And then actually having to listen to it and like work on it and make it better and polish it up, and it did take its toll. But I know it was an experience, and I sort of learned a lot from it.
If you're honest, do you think you captured the story in such a way that people can't help but be moved by it? Was that the kind of the aim?
Yeah, it's quite, as I said, it's quite a raw piece. It isn't really shiny and polished and, you know, super HD quality. It's very raw and like sort of cobbled together. And I mean, because I was on my own, I couldn't, as a kid, I was running around in the background playing with toys and smashing things, and like, and that just came across in the film, and like, it's almost interrupting the subject, but again, it just gave a feeling of the chaos and the difficult life that Katrina's dealing with. And when it all comes together, it's like, it's really difficult piece to watch, and you can see that she's in so much chaos and crisis at the time of filming. And yeah, no, it's a really interesting piece, and it's quite well worth a watch, even if you just learn about what real crisis is about.
Now, from your point of view, you run a company called Proof, is that right?
Yeah, I do.
Now, tell us a little bit about Proof, how it came about, you know, why you run it, and then your involvement in the Socially Minded Documentaries Vimeo channel as well. Is this kind of like an extension of that for you? It's almost like a, you know, could it be a documentary? Do you think there's a documentary subject here? Not necessarily about Katrina's story, but sort of the shared experiences that she would have with people in a similar situation. Because I know each service user would be different for Leicester Charity Link, but like the work I do with Citizens Eye, with all the different news agencies, you come across people, they've all got different stories, but ultimately they're all defined by what's happened to them.
Oh, I'll answer the first half of that question first. Proof is basically a company ran by myself and a friend of mine called Paul. We're two young creatives who are quite promising in London, but we were never taken seriously because of our age. So we came back to our hometown, created a company called Proof with the intention of proving that we're young, maybe, but we're still capable of good things. And it's a company, so we do a lot of corporate work. But then we've also have a separate social enterprise arm called Plus, which is a non-profit filmmaking organisation. And that's what I've been working currently with Katrina Story and various other pieces for the Leicester Charity Link. We do a lot of really socially minded documentaries, campaigns, viral marketing stuff. And that's the sort of the feel-good side. Like, Proof brings in the money and keeps us sustained, but Plus is more about giving back, which I'm sure you know more than enough about. Sort of non-profit, it's all... I mean, I didn't get paid a single penny for Katrina's story. I mean, I paid for everything myself, including like, all the studio hires, and that's... I mean, I love doing stuff like that. I mean, that makes me feel good about myself. So I think both Plus and Proof are crucial to my career.
And the socially minded documentary channel that you kind of... What do you actually say? What do you say that you're like one of the four invigilators, would you say? Or
yeah, there's four moderators. And I think there's like 3,000 subscribers now. It's the second biggest channel on Vimeo for documentaries. And I'm a moderator, so I'm the guy who you send the documentaries to. And I'm the guy that watches it. And if I think it's good enough and appropriate to what we're looking for, then I'll feature it and put it on our channel. And it'll go out to thousands of viewers. So yeah, that's my second job.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you put on the social doc cube for us at the second doc film earlier in January, and there was actually, I think there were like 15 or 16 films. They're quite powerful, weren't they? Yeah. I mean, are you finding with... I was talking to someone about this today. You know, our logo as well, is we've taken all the colour out of it and made it black and white for Community Media Week, almost like that Occupy austerity sort of economic measure. Are you finding some of the films that are coming through now to the socially minded documentary Vimeo channel are still quite as varied and vibrant as, say, 12 months ago, or they've started to really kind of darken up with Occupy and that kind of stuff?
I only joined the social documentary channel last year, and before I joined, it was more Africa orientated. It's all about like African countries struggling about poverty and
sort of development issues,
and about drought, and it was quite contained to Africa. But now I've made it more. I mean, I've just featured the one about a guy who's built a house in California and he's getting it ripped down, and the house is sort of a place for like people to learn, blah blah blah, and like that was way off what we're normally doing. So I was trying to give it more of a diverse feel. Like, I feature any sort of documentary which I feel has sort of a social agenda to it, and I was quite keen to make it not just about African continent, but more about the entire world, because I think obviously Africa's got a lot of problems, but crisis and social problems are something that's experienced the world over. I've done a lot of stuff like looking at mental health and featuring a lot of the documentaries that featured for the social doc cube, which you mentioned was in that area. And I'm trying to give it quite an eclectic feel, which you can experience if you view it yourself on Vimeo. Like, anyone can watch it and see what's on there.
Now, we watched The Interrupters earlier here at the showcase. We put it on a special free screening for people in the criminal justice system, and the police helped to finance that for me. I took most of the financial hit myself, because we gave the tickets away, so there were people from Youth Offending, from the city and the county, like I said, the police, you know, all sorts of organisations from the criminal, even a magistrate, a youth magistrate, which is amazing. Now, at the beginning, obviously, because it's Dogwolf, it's, you know, it's this quite emotional sort of 1 minute trailer that they play, and it says, you know, films, you know, can change the world. I mean, are you kind of a true believer in that? Is that kind of what powers you, that you think through the power of filmmaking as a filmmaker, or even by being the online adjudicator for socially minded documentaries, that ultimately if someone could see something like that and you're making change sort of, you know, one view at a time?
Yeah, I think film, more than most art forms, has a real clout to it if you do it right. All you have to do is look at stuff like Kony 2012 to see that you can get 100 million views in a matter of weeks, and it's hard to find like a single film, like a blockbuster film, that can get that many viewers, like bums on seats. And not only did they get that many hits, but it caused controversy. Like, so much, obviously a lot of it's negative, but controversy is still good. Like, it stirred a lot of debates. A lot of people hated it, a lot of people loved it, but still people were discussing it, which is what the overall aim was. I don't think anyone can deny that a film has a huge capability to change society for the better. And even looking at this film that made fun of the Muslim culture in America, and that caused huge riots. Maybe not wasn't the best impact ever, but it just demonstrates what can be done and what should be done. I think with YouTube being, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old now, I think now is the time to really implement it for better. I mean everything's looking good now. Like, you're recording this on a mobile phone. I mean, it shows that society is ready for a more mobile filmmakers, sort of a guerrilla style, where people can get together and make changes, like at the Doc Film Festival right now. I think time's right for doing what you're saying, for film sort of showing the way that things can change and stuff like that.
George, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Nice to meet you.